disappointed look. He sat back, fussing with his bow tie.
If I could afford $200 shoes, I'd get them.
Trust me, Troy, I said, putting on my signal to turn into the country club parking lot. If you're going to shoot weddings, comfortable shoes are worth the money, even if it means living off ramen and tap water for a month to pay for them.
Well, if my boss gave me a raise...
Don't push it. I pulled up in front of the stairs leading into the lavish club. I will, however, be nice and not make you walk across the parking lot this time.
Thank you.
He grabbed his coat and camera off the back seat, then got out so I could go park the car. He limped toward the stairs, and I chuckled to myself as I drove to the other side of the mostly empty lot. One of the earliest and most painful lessons of being a wedding photographer was that comfortable shoes were worth twice their weight in platinum, and the only thing worse than dealing with a bridezilla was shooting a wedding while one's feet were on fire. Angel and I had both learned that lesson the same way Troy learned it now, the hard way. After I'd parked, I got out and put my tuxedo coat back on. I clipped my battery pack to my belt, put the camera strap over my head, and joined Troy inside the club. We had, I guessed, about 10 minutes before the guests started arriving, so we split up to get shots of the various decorations, wedding favors, and, of course, the towering cake. About the time I'd finished playing pastry paparazzi, the double doors opened. Blinding natural light spilled across the dance floor and dining area, and I squinted against the brightness. Two silhouettes entered the room, and when the doors fell shut behind them, severing the light, I blinked a few times until my eyes adjusted. When they had adjusted, and the pair of newcomers was no longer backlit, my pulse went haywire because the bride's brothers had arrived. The younger of the two was obviously the type who'd rather be in torn jeans and a punk band t-shirt than a tuxedo, at least if the piercings and long hair were anything to go by. He had the, fine, I'll trim it just this once goatee, and insisted on wearing his wallet on a chain even when he was dressed the nines. In spite of his bad boy wannabe appearance, he was friendly and polite, just like his siblings. And he was cute, I'd give him that, but nothing to write home about. The elder brother, though? Jesus Christ. Clean cut, fit as hell, with a smile that had damn near made me drop my camera when he'd walked his sister down the aisle. He was older than both of his siblings by quite a few years, I assumed. Probably mid to late 30s, so close to my age. They kept walking, carrying a couple of boxes to the head table, completely oblivious to the photographer checking out the way that jacket fit the elder brother's shoulders. I wondered if Angel had noticed him. Hell, of course he had. This guy was totally Angel's type, and he was wearing a tux. Tuxedos made hot men hotter. It was an undisputed fact, written into the laws of physics and thermodynamics. I shook my head and went back to making sure every last ribbon and petal had been documented for posterity. About 10 minutes later, my cell phone vibrated. I pulled it off my belt, and Angel's name came up on the caller ID. Keeping my voice low, I said,
Hey, we're pulling off the freeway right now, he said. This limo driver thinks he's Mario fucking Andretti, so we'll be there shortly.
Can you keep up with him? Angel clicked his tongue.
Can I keep up with him? Please.
Just don't kill anyone, would you? I said with a laugh.
No promises.
Typical Angel. Rolling my eyes, I said, See you when you get here.
Be there in a few.
I clipped my phone back to my belt and flagged Troy down. With him limping behind me, I went outside to wait for the limo. By this point, most of the guests had gone outside as well, and the air was alive with chatter and dress shoes clicking on pavement. I snapped a few shots of everyone waiting for the bride and groom to arrive, all the while keeping an eye out for the limousine. And, of course, scanning the crowd for a glimpse of him. It didn't take long to find him. His mood had changed considerably, though. While he'd appeared relaxed and pleasant with his younger brother earlier, he wasn't happy now. Another guy stood close enough to imply they shared more than just platonic intimacy, and by the expression on the gorgeous brother's face, just close enough to be irritating. They both spoke in hushed voices, punctuating their terse conversation with sharp gestures and icy glares.